Jesus asked the man at the pool of Bethesda. He had been there 38 years, a cripple, lying at the pool. Do you wish to get well? The question of questions. Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and I'm sitting across the table this morning from my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder, the teaching pastor and counselor at First Baptist Texarkana, and we want to focus on that question from Jesus. Do you wish to get well? Do you want to get well? That is a question that people need to soberly answer. It almost seems like a rude question to this guy that's been crippled for 38 years. I mean, isn't the answer obviously, of course?
Right.
But Chris, you know from hours and hours in the counseling room that some people don't want to get well.
Yeah, it's a tremendous question because, some people really truly, they may say it, but do they truly want to be well? I think Jesus is asking, do you want to take responsibility? And do you want to do what it takes? Mm-hmm. You know, some people want to get well, but it's, you know, there's no magic wand that you can wave. There's things that you have to do in order to get well, mm-hmm. and you have to be willing and just willing to do those things that it requires.
Right. Well, you know, in the news today, everybody's talking about the Hunter Biden sweetheart deal that fell apart with one question by the judge, just fell apart in court. And, you know, we've been scratching our heads with this double standard that we have in our country today and the two-tiered justice system, mm-hmm. Rules for thee and not for me. And I was thinking about how Lady Justice has a blindfold on. She has scales in her hand. She has a sword and scales and a blindfold, which means justice is to be true and just for all people.
I don't care.
How much money you have or whatever. And you think about Hunter Biden and just the sad life that he has. He's addicted to drugs. He's addicted, obviously, to sex as he videotapes himself with prostitutes and all this stuff. It's like, why in the world would you do that? He seems to be addicted to lies, along with his father. That whole Biden family just seems to be steeped in lies. And you know, there's one sense, Chris, we look at that guy with disgust, but we also look at him with heartbreak because it's like you've wrecked your life. Do you want to get well? Do you wish to get well? And so we have people listening today, and they struggle with sex addiction. They struggle with drug addiction, alcohol addiction, whatever it might be. And I know, Chris, you spent a lot of time with people that have had that in their background or trying to break free of that. So how does that question fit in when you're talking to somebody that comes in your office? My life is a mess. I'm addicted. My marriage is terrible. It's about to end. Everything is falling apart. Maybe I should just go kill myself. What do you say to that person?
Well, I mean, in the case of Hunter Biden, I think that, there's many in that same kind of position. The word that I think of is enabled. You know, he's been enabled mm-hmm. by so many. He's been privileged and he's been enabled. And now we see the aftermath of that. And so it is pretty sad and pretty alarming to see when people have been enabled for a long period of time and the results of that in their life. And there's a lot of codependent relationships, you know, parents to children, and those children aren't even really children anymore. They're adults, mm-hmm. but they're living in that old behavior because they've been enabled for so long.
Mm-hmm. Well, I read somewhere today where the judge said to him, you need to get a job. You need to get sober and clean. You need to start taking responsibility for your life.
That's the word, responsibility, taking responsibility. You have one life to steward, and obviously not stewarding it well, but you have to take responsibility, you have to take ownership. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the first step, is being in reality, coming out of denial, coming to reality, like this is what is, and being aware of what's going on in your own life.
Well, in the story from John 5, the true account of this man, when Jesus asked him the question, he had been there 38 years in his sickness, and mm-hmm. so they had the false idea that hey, the angel stirs up the water, and there's probably some underground spring that would cause the water to bubble, and mm-hmm. somebody came up with this idea. Well, that's the angel stirring the water, and if you get in the water first, you'll be healed. You know, the Bible just kind of puts that in quote brackets and says, you know, that was what they thought. That wasn't happening.
It is a unique story. It's a kind of a strange story. You know, The Chosen, they did a depiction of it, and just people just kept getting ahead of him. Like, he would scoot a little bit closer all the time, but 38 years lying by the pool and not able to get to the healing water.
No, I would have probably started a program that says, hey, seniority here, get in line. I've been here for 38 years. How long have you been here?
Years, yeah.
But when he asked him the question, do you wish to get well, or as some manuscripts or some translations, do you want to get well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. And so there's an excuse,
yeah.
So we talk about taking responsibility.
Yeah.
People would much rather make excuses and blame somebody else. Mm-hmm. So it's not on me.
Well, it's that victim mentality. Mm-hmm. You know, we see that very common in our culture. It's always someone else's fault. And blame is a big indicator that there's a worldly kind of sorrow. And you're not going to get better with blame, because there's plenty of people to blame. You know, you blame your parents, you blame family members, you blame friends. There's plenty of people to blame, but at some point you have to take ownership, take responsibility.
And a lot of people blame God.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people turn on God quickly. And that's the worst place to be, to turn on God, the creator, the one that created you, the one that knows you better than you know yourself. You do not want to turn on God. But I see that a lot. It's amazing to me how quickly people get angry with God.
Well, it's interesting. You think about Job, and you know, that was the test. Hey, you let me get at him, God, and he'll curse you to your face. He'll turn on you if you take everything from him. And Job didn't do that, although he didn't like what was going on, obviously.
I mean, you can show emotion, just, you know, David, the same thing in the Psalms, and Job, like, you can be angry, you could be not understanding and kind of question, but you don't want to live there, you don't want to live in that spot. You know, that questioning could actually draw you to God, or that passion, that anger can actually draw you to God, but you don't want to live there constantly against, you know, feeling like God is against you.
Well, and, you know, I've told people, Chris, you got to be honest with God. You know, Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, O people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And so you can't bottle that stuff in. And if you're frustrated with what is going on in your life, because, I mean, everything, all circumstances, they go back to God, because God is over all things. And so if something happens to you, you get in your car, coming home from church on a Wednesday night, you get hit by a drunk driver and it breaks your back and you're a paraplegic in a wheelchair. Well, you know that God could have prevented that had he wanted to.
Well, I mean, a lot of it has to do with expectations. You know, the reality is we live in a broken world, you know, where it's not fair. And some people do have it harder than others. If you really think about it, some people have been through really horrific things that I know I haven't been through.
Right.
And so life is not fair. Life is not easy. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. That is guaranteed.
Right.
He also says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. But this expectation that life is going to be easy, or that life is going to be fair, is unrealistic.
Well, I still remember a situation with my dad where he was having all sorts of back trouble, and he got up from the chair that he was sitting in, and he just got hit with this severe pain in his back, and he fell to his knees, and he started to get so upset, and he goes, why is this happening to me? And I remember, sometimes tact is not my best suit.
Nuance.
Yeah, I don't do that well. And I just said to him, I said, well, Dad, why not you? I mean, why are you?
But that's true, though.
Why are you immune to that?
Right.
You know, and so, and Chris, we have people in the church tend to have this, because we can easily fall into the elder brother syndrome from the prodigal son story. Well, I have done all this for you, Lord.
So I deserve better.
Yeah, and this is how you treat me.
Like a merit system, like you check the box all these times, you've done all these right things, so you deserve blessings.
Right. I still remember a quote, I'm almost positive it comes from Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie was very open and honest in her relationship with the Lord.
But she went through horrific things.
Yeah, in the Nazi concentration camp. And she said, this is kind of a bad quote, but it's kind of funny and it's telling all at the same time. She said, "Lord, if this is how you treat your friends, I understand why you have so few of them."
Yes, remember that.
But, you know, the bottom line is God is a loving God. He's a good God. And if things come into your life, my life, our lives that are difficult, that we don't want, just know that they have filtered through God's fingers of love, and he has a purpose for it.
And that's one of the most comforting things you can tell someone, is the sovereignty of God. Focusing on that one theological truth, I think, is the number one comforting truth for people that are suffering, that God is sovereign, knowing that God is in control. Mm-hmm. And we don't always understand. We don't understand why these, you know, bad things are happening to good people. And we can live there in our frustration and even get angry about it. But knowing that God is in control, and he's aware of what's happening.
Well, last night I preached on Genesis 35. Jacob goes back to Bethel, and he gets his heart right with the Lord, and God reiterates the Abrahamic covenant, and I'm going to bless you, the land, the legacy, and kings are going to come forth from you, and wonderful, the blessings of God. And so he gets his heart right. He pours out a drink offering, which is a symbol of, I'm pouring out my life to you, Lord. I belong to you. I surrender to you. But then it says, in that same chapter, his nursemaid, Deborah, the only time she's mentioned by name, she dies, and he grieves that. And then it says his beloved wife, Rachel, dies, and dies a horrible death. She dies in childbirth. I was talking to a baby doctor at our church last night after the sermon, and I said, that has to be the most painful death. He said, the most painful death. Mm. And it would last for probably, you know, 2 days of labor until you finally, you know, she probably bled out after she gave birth to Benjamin. And then Isaac dies. Mm-hmm. And so I made the statement that, you know, you can mark it down. Even when you're right with God and you're exactly where he wants you to be, you're going to have heartache and heartbreak in life. You're going to have trouble in life. And in that same chapter, his oldest son, Reuben, sleeps with Rachel's maid. Mm-hmm. And that was big time, don't do that.
So you can have the blessings of God and yet still have that limp, you know, still walk with that limp for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that you're not also receiving blessings at the same time.
Right. Well, and you know, Chris, we've had people say, well, I'm doing everything, you know, bad things happen. Well, God, what have I done to deserve this? What am I in some sin? Is this some punishment from you? And oftentimes it may not be.
Well, again, that's the point, is that we live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. And so broken people hurt people, hurting people. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just the reality. That's the truth of it. It's not it's not easy. It's hard, and suffering is not easy, but suffering is a big part of the Christian life and how we suffer and how we deal with circumstances.
Now, in charismatic circles, so much of what is on television, you know, health, wealth, prosperity, gospel, suffering is not talked about.
Right. It's more about prosperity and good things are coming your way, and if you're in a bad spot, blessings are right around the corner. Good things are coming,
right?
Which isn't guaranteed.
No, just speak it into existence and name it and claim it.
That can mess you up really bad. That kind of teaching can really mess you up.
Well, I think it gets people excited for a while. Oh, this is going to happen, and I just need to pray, and I need to trust God, and he's going to do this for me. God doesn't do your will. He doesn't do my will. He does his will.
Yeah, he's not a genie in a bottle, you know, that you can just make your wishes and those are going to come true. And he knows better than you. So our best prayer is to pray, God, your will be done. And I don't always understand it, but you do.
Right. Well, and the Lord makes a promise in Scripture, and this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Well, the question for today from John chapter 5, verse 6, do you wish to get well? That is a deep, penetrating question. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder, as we're unpacking that question and digging deep on that question. Hey, God wants you to get well. Get well emotionally, spiritually. The physical side of it, that's up to the Lord. But emotionally and physically, God wants you well. So we're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about the question from John chapter 5, verse 6, as Jesus said to the man at the pool of Bethesda who had been there for 38 years in his sickness, "Do you wish to get well?" Okay, so Chris, not a cruel question. It's an important question. Mm-hmm. Somebody comes into your office for counseling and their lives are just a shambles. If you ask that question, well, do you want to get better? Do you wish to get well? Mm-hmm. How do they respond to that, you think?
It depends on the person. If the person is, I can tell if the person is willing to work at getting well. And in biblical counseling, we're always giving assignments to them, like homework assignments, things to read, things to do, things to write out. And that kind of shows us if they are willing to work. It's kind of a test, mm-hmm. you know, and if they're willing to do those things, then it shows you that they are willing to, they're wanting to get well. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things I want to find out is I want to find out who's around them, like who's in their community. Because a lot of times we tend to isolate when we get into places of trouble. But we have to realize that, you know, in our faith, in Christianity, it's vertical. It's our relationship with God, but it's also horizontal. You know, we need other people. We need people speaking truth into our lives and people that are helping us and people that we are helping. You know, so that support system is so important. So I want to find out, do they have support?
Well, and so many that you talk to have none.
Oh, it's shocking, you know, and you need to build that support before you get into times of trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember going through a really hard time in my life and a good friend, he said, well, the good thing is you have a good support system, and mm-hmm. that support system is so valuable. And so you have to build that support system before you get into trouble, you know, and I think about Galatians where it says bear with one another's burdens.
Right, bear one another's burdens.
And you're pouring into other people because everybody's going through trouble.
Right.
You know, you're either, like they say, you're either in trouble, you're going into it, or you're coming out of it.
Right.
You know, that's just a part of life.
It's just trouble.
It's trouble. trouble. So we need each other. We need people in our life.
And you think about it, I've said this before, we can compound. Life is just filled with trouble. Uh-huh. And nobody gets away with that. But if you make bad decisions, you make life more complicated. Mm-hmm. So for instance, if you get married when you're 23, 24, 25, whatever it is, and it's for your first marriage, her first marriage, and you stick together and you don't commit adultery, uh-huh. and you don't let yourself go off on drug addiction or alcohol addiction, you don't get involved in the gambling, the things that will destroy yeah. everything, and you stay together, you work through problems, and you have your children by the grace of God. I mean, life is a lot simpler. The problems aren't as complex. But if you get married, have two kids, get yeah. divorced, marry somebody else, have two kids, get divorced, live with somebody else, you're like the woman at the well.
Yeah.
Life is so complicated.
That is so true. I talk to people about that all the time. Like if I'm counseling someone that's in their 40s or 50s and they've had previous marriages, they've been through really hard things, that is a lot different than someone that is in their young 20s, you know, and had a, you know, all families are dysfunctional to some extent,
right.
but had a pretty functional family and haven't really been through hard things. That's a big difference. So if you're you know, that more middle stage of life and you've been through things mm-hmm. and now you're marrying someone, they've also been through things. So it really is two broken people coming together. I mean, we are all broken. We all have experiences, but the older you get, the more hard experiences you go through. Mm-hmm. So that's a great point. Huge difference.
Yeah, you just don't, you know, it pays to walk with God, to walk in the light, to make wise biblical decisions about your life. And you can't, I realize that there are people listening, you know, you're 45, 55, whatever, 65 years old, and you say, well, I've made all those bad decisions and now I'm reaping the crop that I've sown.
Well, it's you know, Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, building your house. So you're building your house on the rock, not on sand.
Right.
So you're building your house on the rock, even if you're in your young 20s and you're starting your life, even if you make all those good choices, life is going to hit.
Right.
Right. So it's either the choices you make or just life itself hits you. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's so important to build your house on the rock. And a lot of people build on sand mm-hmm. and then you got to rebuild. you know, you've got to rebuild the foundation while you're already in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's even more complicated.
Right.
It's doable and God's going to help you, but that's even more complicated, more difficult.
Right. Well, okay, so I'm just thinking about your life. So you had a bad marriage mm-hmm. that you didn't want to end, but you didn't have any choice. I mean, mm-hmm. she just left. But now you have a wonderful wife. Mm-hmm. It's got to be night and day difference.
It's night and day difference. I mean, I really started my life over. I really look at it as like a reboot, like a restart. I mean, mm-hmm. I still have my daughter from, you know, previous marriage, and she has a great relationship with my wife, you know, with her stepmom. But I'm pushing 50 with young children. Mm-hmm. So I basically kind of had to start over.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have to get to a spot where you say, am I just going to let this bury me? Or am I going to, you know,
right.
make a decision to, you know, and I wanted to be remarried. I wanted to have a good marriage. I wanted to experience that. So I wasn't one of these, you know, sometimes I see people that go through a divorce, they go through a hard circumstance and they're like,
never do that again.
I never want to be married again. I don't understand that mentality because life is meant to be lived and God wants us to live an abundant life.
Well, I think it's interesting. A lot of people, I think, miss this part of the scripture, but Abraham loves Sarah. Sarah dies. He marries Keturah and has 6 more kids. So it's like his life wasn't over.
I don't blame people. I know it's hard for adult children, but people that are older and maybe the person passed away or something like that, and mm-hmm. they get remarried. I know it's strange and there's some complications to that, but it's choosing to live.
Mm-hmm.
It's choosing to have life, you know, and you have one life, and so you're choosing to live it to the fullest.
Yeah, because Sarah was, going off memory here, she was 127, I think, when she died. And so Abraham's 10 years older than she is. And so he's 137. He lived to be 175. He had another,
right.
I mean, another life with this
yeah.
person and had 6 yeah. kids. But
when you get in your hundreds, you know, the 10-year difference doesn't seem that big of a difference.
No, it doesn't. Well, here's the other thing too, Chris. You know, do you wish to get well? No doubt people come to the office, the counseling office, and they just want you to say something or do something that, bam, they're
like
better.
Like a quick fix.
Yeah. Here, you know, take 2 scriptures and call me in the morning, you'll be fine. I always tell people this, listen, you didn't get to where you are overnight. You don't get better overnight.
Uh-huh.
But what you can do overnight is start moving in the right direction.
Right. One good choice at a time. Yeah, exactly. It didn't happen overnight. So it's just kind of like losing weight. You know, you didn't gain 50 pounds overnight. You're not going to lose 50 pounds overnight. It's one good decision after another. And one of the things that I think causes people to feel stuck and not ready to get well is they haven't really dealt with things in their life. And so things have piled up. And so a lot of things have piled up, especially like things that needed to be grieved, you
mm-hmm.
know, like losses in their life. They've
right.
added up. And so, you know, like in recovery, we do what's called an inventory. It's step 4. It's the hardest part of recovery, where you sit down and you begin to write down the losses in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And some losses are bigger than others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be, you know, moving in the 3rd grade might be different than losing a spouse,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they're all losses. And those losses have to be accounted for and grieved over. And so a lot of times we don't grieve, we don't deal with it. And so they've just piled up. And so then you're, you know, in the minutia of it, it's hard to mm-hmm. get well.
Yeah, right. I tell couples that that are dealing with lots of emotional baggage. You know, couples, one of the dysfunctions in marriage, they don't deal with stuff.
Uh-huh.
So something happens, they get their feelings hurt, they just let that thing foul and fester, they put it in a closet, so to speak. We'll just sweep it under the rug, throw a sheet over it, we put it in the junk closet. Well, eventually you get to the point where you can't close the door to the closet.
Yeah.
I mean, it just gets piled with stuff. And then people, and it's so much emotional energy to go through all that they say, well, I'd rather just quit.
Yeah, we call them withholds. You know, withholds are those things that you just sweep. You just keep sweeping. And they say that a withhold has 100% resurrection rate. So it's coming back. You can't just stuff it. Yeah. It's going to come back. And so good couples that are strong in their marriage are able to deal with things. Uh-huh. They don't ignore things. They're good at resolving conflict.
Right.
But yeah, if that's piled up, then there's a lot of work to do. It's like that, you know, the... what's it called when people just collect everything in their house and it
oh, the hoarders?
Yeah, like hoarders, you know, you become like a hoarder.
Well, I've said in terms
it's like
before,
overwhelming.
You know, you can't bury toxic waste without putting it in the right place, you know, and so if you have these hurts that you've never dealt with, and you just, well, I'll just bury that. I'll bury it in work or I'll bury it in my kids or whatever. It's going to come back up. It's going to poison the groundwater. It's going to be a problem.
Yeah. So counselors say the biggest reason for depression, where people are feel depressed, they're not very motivated. They're in a place of despair, and they say the biggest reason for depression is not grieving losses, and that could be death. You know, people that have passed away that you haven't grieved, but it could be all kinds of things that have experienced that have caused loss in their lives and caused sadness, and it hasn't really been dealt with, and that causes that depression. And so when you get to that place, the lower you get, the harder it becomes to make that decision to get well.
Well, and the letter... First letter in the book of the Revelation is to the church in Ephesus, where the Lord tells that church, hey, I have this against you. You've left your first love. You have a problem. And do you want to get well? Here's what you need to do to get well. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming and you will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. And so I think, Chris, for a lot of us, when we really take an inventory and look at our lives, it's like, okay, what's going on in the vertical relationship? And I have to deal with that before anything, because these other things, you know, I mean, that's going to trigger me doing things horizontally. I got to get right with God.
Yeah, the passion is not there anymore. You become apathetic to things of God. The light isn't, you know, the fire isn't as strong as it used to be. And so you're in this dark place.
Right. Well, and Jesus did say in Matthew 5, you know, if you have something, a problem with you and your brother, you've sinned against him, you've wronged him, okay, that's the first thing you need to do. You've talked to me about it. Let's get this right and then come and present your offering. And so if we have broken relationships, we need to get those right.
Yeah, that's a great, that's another great point, because that's bitterness. You know, bitterness takes root. And so, you know, again, in recovery, we call it amends, like taking an amends. So is there any people in your life that you have, you know, some bitterness towards that has to be taken care of? And that takes a lot of humility in order to go back and start that conversation and offer forgiveness. But that needs to be done.
Well, and seeking forgiveness too, because a lot of people, they might have, well, they do. They've hurt people. They've hurt their kids or whatever. And especially, I would think, in alcohol addiction or drug addiction, you have hurt a lot of people with that addiction. You know, we started talking about Hunter Biden. I mean, Hunter Biden has kids. Hunter Biden has hurt a lot of people who love him. And no doubt his dad, with the enabling, has hurt Hunter Biden. But for Hunter Biden to get well, he'd have to make a lot of amends.
Is there anything worse than enabling someone for the purpose of political gain? You know, for your own personal gain, enabling someone?
It's just awful.
You know, some people enable, and I feel sympathetic towards them. Like, I don't know, I've met with a man who's probably in his 70s, and his son is, you know, 50-ish or 40s, and there's this enabling relationship, and it's sad to watch. Like, it's sad to watch, and it's hard to get out of. It's hard to break that bond and begin a new, healthier relationship. That's hard.
Well, and I think too, you know, you kind of go back to basics. Everybody wants, we want to be happy in life. Nobody wants to set out and say, oh, I'm going to make myself miserable. What can I do to make my life horrible? Nobody does that. Lots of people have horrible lives, horrible marriages, horrible families, but they didn't, that wasn't their goal.
Right.
But here's the thing. if you want to have a life of love and joy and peace, those are God's things. They only come from being right with God and doing the things that God wants you to do. The way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible says, but the path of the upright is a highway. And so you save yourself lots of grief when you walk in the light with the Lord. Doesn't mean you're not going to have attacks from the enemy. Doesn't mean you're not going to have trials and temptations and tribulations. You are, but you are going to experience the peace that passes understanding and the fruit of the Spirit that people long for. Mm-hmm. They just keep looking for it in the wrong places.
I mean, I don't want to read into the text too much, but this man at the pool at Bethesda who's just laying there, obviously he's got a physical problem, but I wonder what else, you know, emotional pains, spiritual pains or bad decisions that he's made in the past. You know, the physical, the spiritual, and the emotional, they are all connected. And there are physical things like sickness, disease, like cancer, that just happened because we live in a fallen world. But there are situations where we could be better. We could be well if we made better choices, and it affects, you know, spiritually, emotionally, and physically.
Right. And the scripture does say the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. So if you're dealing with things today that have broken your heart, just know, claim that verse, Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is near, and He promises to come to you and to minister to you in a very, very special way. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, along with Dr. Chris Schroeder. And we're talking about that question Jesus gave to the man at the pool of Bethesda. Do you wish to get well? Spiritual health, emotional health, mental health, all those things are critical. So when we come back from the break, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We would love to hear from you if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a short testimony of how God brought emotional, spiritual healing to your life. We'd love to hear it. So we'll take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about the man at the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus asked him the question, do you wish to get well? And we are opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, maybe you have a testimony, it needs to be brief, but maybe you have a testimony of how, hey, I was swimming in lies and blaming other people, and I finally looked in the mirror, I took responsibility for my life, and amazing, all things began to change.
Yeah, Chris, I mean, God can heal, God can change any situation.
Well, all the testimonies we have at Celebrate Recovery.
Yes.
Those are people that have gotten honest about their lives and taken responsibility, because you don't get better without that.
And making a decision that they want something better than what they have. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you heard, you know, Nicole Ford's testimony a while back. I mean, she went through horrific things that many of us have not been through.
Right.
So it's not just decisions that she made, but right, the way that she was brought up and stuff like that was different than a lot of us.
Well, I still remember a guy at Family Life Ministries. He was talking about people who have been sexually abused or physically abused. Mm-hmm. He said, this is not your fault, but it is your problem.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And so you can't just blame other people and then say, I don't have to deal with this. Mm-hmm. You do have to deal with it because it's on your doorstep. So it's not your fault, but it is your problem. What are you going to do with this bad thing that happened right to you? You know, you think about, Chris, father wounds that many people have. Mm-hmm. Okay, not your fault, but it is your problem. And you have to be able to bring that to the Lord, to trust Him with that, to cast that burden on Him, to get the help from other people to minister to that hurt so you can heal.
Mm-hmm. With Nicole, the motivation for her was her child, you know, and just seeing a picture of her child at her lowest point, you know, it hit her that I've got to fight for him. I've got to fight for this relationship and to be a better person.
She had become her mother.
Yes, exactly.
The person that was...
To break that chain, it's so difficult to break that chain, but it starts with making that decision that you're going to be different.
Right. Well, we have Barbara on the line from Texas. Barbara, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jeff. I just wanted to share how amazing God is. When I was a child, my dad left us. He was a minister for a while, went back into alcoholism, left us. My mom remarried, and my stepdad did abusive things to me, and I hated him. It's like I hated him with every fiber of my being, and I remember praying to God, and I said, God, I hate him. I feel like I have a right to hate him, and I don't want to forgive him, but God, could you help me want to forgive him? God did a healing in my heart. I was able to forgive him, to love him. In the later days of his life, he was dying of cancer, and God gave me the wonderful privilege of praying with him, and he came to know the Lord as Savior, and wow. did a complete turnaround in his life. After that, it was like my mom could do no wrong. He knew that we loved him. He told my mom, he said, she loves me. My mother said, of course she loves you. We all do. And he said, no, after what I had done, I never thought she could love me, but she loves me. God is so good. God can do a healing. And so I just encourage anybody, if you have that hate and that bitterness in your heart, ask God to help you get rid of it. He will do that.
What a great testimony, Barbara. Amen. And to see God use you to bring him to faith in Christ, that is awesome.
And starting with forgiveness, I mean, that is hard to forgive someone who has done so much harm to you and done such terrible things to you. But making that decision to forgive, and when you forgive someone, oftentimes it's not for the other person, it's for yourself,
right?
You know, and it allows you to find healing when you're able to forgive, because you don't want to live your life carrying that unforgiveness, that bitterness, resentment.
Right. Yeah, it destroys. Well, thank you for calling in and sharing that, Barbara. God bless you, and may God continue to use you in great ways and use your testimony to help so many other people. Well, we have Linda on the line from Mississippi. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm having to step back into last week and yesterday when you were talking about Adrian Rogers. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a chance to call yesterday. You only gave your number one time, and I couldn't get it again.
Sorry about that.
So I'm having to back up on that. But I've always been so excited to have had Adrian Rogers in my life with the sermons he's given with cassettes and the CDs. But you and I have had similar experiences in our past, because every time I would be in the car at home, I would always have one of his CDs played. Mm-hmm. It was just always there. Now, this is going back a long way, I know, but my son was a sales rep, too, and he caught on to all of this good sermon and good preaching from Adrian Rogers, and he was so excited to listen to all of his sermons and everything he had to say. And if he was traveling in the Memphis area, he would stop at Bellevue. And he was killed in a car accident about 25 years ago. But I knew that he had the Adrian Rogers tapes in the car with him. And that just made me happy. I was just happy that he had that to go on. And we set up a memorial in our church with Adrian Rogers tapes. But before Adrian Rogers, there was a preacher, R.B. Thieme Jr., mm-hmm. from Houston. And do you know of that Barak?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That church there? I want to be in touch with that church, because he started out, the first I'd ever heard, with a tape series, and I would be able to have reel-to-reel tapes of his in my car and in my house. So I'm just saying thank you for featuring Adrian Rogers, who had such an impact on my life.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Linda, and thank you for calling in. Yeah, Adrian affected lots and lots of lives, and still is, through Love Worth Finding Ministries, and it was a real treat to get to talk to his oldest son, Stephen, and then his other son, David. And Adrian, we talk about hardships. Their first son, Philip, died in infancy, and he took the baby to the hospital. I think the baby was maybe 3 or 4 months old, and rushed the baby to the hospital, and the baby didn't make it. He had to come home and tell his wife, he's gone.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Yeah, so, you know, sometimes we can get the idea that these people that we look up to, they've gone unscathed. They haven't.
Nobody does, yeah.
No, so everybody has difficulties. Everybody has problems. And the Lord is the one that makes things right in the end. And as I shared last night, Chris, with the difficulties that Jacob went through, Romans 8:28, you know, is in the Word of God.
Right.
God works all things together for good to those who love and to those who are called according to His purpose.
What a great verse. That's such a comforting verse, Romans 8:28.
Yeah. And, you know, it's what Joseph said in Genesis 50:20. Mm-hmm. Told his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good.
Yeah, God always has the last move, you know. So there's evil in the world and Satan's trying to destroy, but God always has the last move.
Yeah. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And maybe you have a testimony like Barbara where you were bitter, but you dealt with it and you saw God just do great things to just relieve you of that. And Chris, as you said, the Lord is strong on bitterness. He says, if you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive you, Matthew chapter 6. But it's because He loves us, because He knows that bitterness will destroy. It's a cancer of the soul, and it will destroy you.
Yeah, it will destroy you just from the inside out. I mean, it will just eat you alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so easy to, the Bible says, little foxes spoil the vine. It's not the big things, it's the little things that add up over time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to become really good at instant forgiveness.
Okay, so let me ask you, put you in the hot seat here. Your first wife hurts you deeply with betrayal and all that. How did you, because you had to deal with feelings of I hate you.
Right.
Because you're human.
Right.
So how did you get past that? How did
you forgive? Not easy and it was not instantaneous. It was a long, long process.
Mm-hmm.
And so times where I felt like I had gotten all the way, that I had forgiven her, and then the feelings of anger and hatred would come back. And so I would feel like I would take a step back. And so I was fighting it for a long period of time. And I think you know when you have truly forgiven someone, when they're not just neutral in your mind, but you actually hope for good things for that person.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty extreme
definition
of forgiveness, but you actually hope for good things for that person. You know, just like Barbara's story about
her stepdad
actually leading the person to the Lord.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I have found with people that have hurt me, if you pray for them, then it's hard for your heart to be bitter toward them. It's just like you're saying, you want good things. God bless this person, minister in their lives, help them where they're struggling. So it's not just you pray the plagues of the apocalypse on their head, you know, Lord, destroy this person's life. We don't do that. We bless those who curse us, and we pray for those who, spitefully use us. Jesus prayed for, when he was on the cross, he prayed for those that were laughing and mocking and lying about him. And so that's our example.
I think the greatest thing that we could remember as Christians is the only way that we can forgive is focusing on the gospel. And, you know, that none of us have deserved forgiveness.
Right.
But only by the grace of God, only because of what God did through his son, Jesus. That's the only way that we could forgive. And that's the gospel message.
Well, that's the parable of the in Matthew 18, the guy that owed 10,000 talents versus 100 denarii. You know, 100 denarii is not nothing. That's about 4 months' wages, but it's nothing in comparison to 10,000 talents,
right,
which is an astronomical amount of money. I mean, this is, Jesus did humor by exaggeration, and when they heard that, the slave owed the master 10,000 talents, they'd be like, whoever has had 10,000 talents, that's more money than Solomon had.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how much we've sinned against God.
Yeah, an enormous chasm. Yeah.
Yeah, and he forgives us, so that enables us to forgive others. Well, we have Scott on the line from Mississippi. Scott, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff and Associate Pastor Chris. Hope y'all are doing well this morning.
We are. Thank you.
You appreciate so much you dealing with some very not hot, but hot to the heart topics, especially yesterday and today with the, and it's wonderful. I gotta interject about your Future Shock series. I heard the last message. I'm trying to hear them 2 and 3 or 4 times so I can really let them penetrate deeply, because the end times is something that I'm not just getting a dose of for the sake of knowledge, but for how much confidence it gives us as the believer, as Paul boasted. Mm-hmm. And my comment this morning is one of my favorite Negro spirituals was based on the verse in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking so much about, maybe you can preach a sermon sometimes or about the balm in Gilead and what Gilead meant and what the balm in Gilead represented. But I've suffered things in my from my childhood, even to this day, that could be interpreted as a result of sin. And Dr. Matt Ayers the other day on an AFR program talked about how sin is not just the acts we commit or omit, but it's the very nature we're born into. And without the rebirth that you talked about, if you're born once, you have to die twice, and if you are born twice, you only die once.
Right.
The world is just seems to be spinning out of control. But I wanted you and Chris to kind of maybe share your thoughts about how evil, since God has allowed the devil to be over the world for a season, how evil is progressing. It seems to be, and we know the world is in the control of, is ultimately in God's hands, but isn't there some progressive work of evil in the world where Jesus does never change, saying yesterday, today, and forever? The rebellion, resistance to truth seems to have changed.
Yes, you're exactly right. So 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." And so we're seeing the enemy, and God is allowing him to do this, just squeeze the world into the mold of anti-God, anti-Christ. It's increasing at a rapid rate. And that all fits into the end times, and it fits into God's plan. But it is shocking for us as believers to see how fast things have moved to an anti-biblical worldview, an anti-Christ mentality.
Yeah, and him giving us over to our evil desires and more, and we're seeing this separation from the wheat and the chaff.
Right. So I heard Al Mohler say, you know, with what's going on in our world, it's really the mushy middle is not a space anymore. You're either for Christ or you're against Christ, because you can't be hanging out on the fence. Hey, the devil owns the fence, so we can't be compromisers. We have to walk in the light as he himself is in the light. Well, thank you for listening to Real Truth for today. Naomi, I'm sorry I didn't get to your call, but please call in again and we'll talk. And hey, go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you. Walk in the light as he himself is in the light. Deal with life as it comes in reality, and let the Lord bring healing emotionally, spiritually, mentally to your life. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.